Welcome back, everybody. It's Yomi Terpz Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph 108A, and we are on the top of Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah said Chayav Oaf when it comes to beasts and birds. So when they are in your Rishos, meaning when they are your pets, then if you are trapping them, you're going to be Pater, but if you bruise them, then you are going to be Chayav. So now comes the Gemara and brings up a discussion about Hilchos Tefillin, whether you're allowed to write Tefillin on a kosher bird's skin. So comes the Gemara and says, Kosum Tilin Agavi or Shel Of Tar. One is allowed to go ahead and write Tefillin on the skin of a kosher bird. Amar Yosef Mai Kamash Mulan, what's the Chiddush of here? Dislay Or, you're trying to teach me that birds have skin. Tanina, we already know this. Hachov Lahen Chayev, we already know this from the fact that we learned in our Mishnah that if someone bruises them, you're going to be Chayev. So we know that the only time you bruise has a Chayev is when there's skin. So we already know there's skin. So Amar Leabai, no, Tuba Kamash Mulan. There's a big Chiddush that we're learning over here. Dim Mastis in the Hava, meaning, because if we just had from our Mishnah that we just knew they had skin, cave in Disbay, Nikve lo. We might think since it's filled with holes where all the feathers go in, so it's not going to be valid for tefillin. Kamash Malan, Gidam Bimarava, Kol Nekev Shad, Yo Veris, Alav, Eno Nekev. So comes Ravuna and therefore teaches us that it's going to be kosher for tefillin because any hole where the ink is able to pass over, not considered a hole, and therefore the tefillin is going to be kosher. Comes the Gemara and asks, Meisve, Rabbi Zera, so Rabbi Zera asks from the following Brisa, Beknafav. So when talking about the carbon ola, so the Torah tells us the bird with its feathers, lahachshira sa'or, which is coming to include the skin, meaning you burn the skin with the ola offering. Generally, when you bring an animal for the ola offering, you have to do hafshata, you have to go and skin off the animal, but here you don't have to do that for a bird. Now, if you want to think that a bird's skin is really called skin, so hechi marabe leikra, so how could the pasuk include it and tell us that it could be burnt just like the other stuff on the bird? So how could it possibly be if it's really going to be considered skin? So how could we possibly allow you to write tefillin on this kosher bird skin? So Amar Le Abaye, or who, no, really it is going to be considered, or it is considered skin, but still the Torah has an inclusion that it's going to be included in this carbon ola, but that doesn't take away the fact that it really does have skin, and therefore you would be allowed to write tefillin on it. Ikadamri, there are those who see this whole discussion in a bit of a different way. Amar Rabbi Zera said, Afanan Nami Tanina, we also learned this from Rabbi Sibachnafav. The Pasuk says, Bichnafav with its feathers, Larabos Tzor, coming to include the skin, meaning that the bird's ola offering is going to include the skin. Iyamar pishlama orhu. So I understand if you're going to tell me that it's called or hainu dishrakro rabuye. So this is why we needed a specific pasuk to include it, because otherwise we wouldn't have thought that you were allowed to include the skin. We would have thought you had to skin it in, before you're going to go and bring the carbon ola. El iyamar lav orhu. But if you're going to tell me that it's not skin, so amai ishrakro rabuye, then we should know, obviously, that it's going to be considered part of the bird itself, part of the flesh of the bird itself, and therefore it would certainly be part of the carbon. So what would be the purpose of the pasuk? So we see, just saying this in a different way, that it must be that bird skin is going to be considered skin. But now comes the Gemara and rejects this proof a little bit. Amar Le Abaye, Abaye said to Reb Zera, really, I could tell you that the bird skin is not going to be considered skin. Still, we need this pasuk to teach us that it's going to be included in this carbon ola, because you might have thought to say, you might think that since the bird skin is full of holes, so it's too gross, it's not appropriate for it to be brought on the Mizbeach Kamash Malan. So comes the pasuk and teaches us that no, even though it still has these holes, it's still good enough. Even though it wouldn't be qualified or classified as separate bird skin, still what the pasuk is coming to teach me is that it's going to be good enough to go on the Mizbeach. So it's not necessarily a proof. Now comes the Gemara and discusses whether tefillin is allowed to be written on the skin of a fish. So b'amine mar b'rei d'ravina mer of nach mar yitzlak. Mahu lichtuf tefillin agabe or shel dag tor. So what is the halacha when it comes to writing tefillin on the skin of a kosher fish? Amar lo, he said back to him, im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar. So Eliyahu will have to come and tell us what to do. Mayim yavo Eliyahu v'yomar. What does this mean if Eliyahu comes? Torah is lo bashamayim. We don't go like that. So ilema id islay or id lesley. Or if what you mean by saying Eliyahu is going to have to come and determine this for us is really a question of whether fish have skin or not. Hachazina islay or. We already know the fact that fish do have skin. Ve'od hatanan. And furthermore, we learned in the Mishnah tells us that a fish has skin because we see the Mishnah tells us in Kalim, Atzmos Hadag Va'oro Matzilin Ba'ohel Hameis, that the bones of a fish and its skin are able to save things from becoming tame in an Ohel Hameis. So we see that fish do have skin. Ella, rather, what we mean to say is Im Yavo Eliyahu V'yomar, that we will know whether the skin of a fish is going to be valid for tefillin or not. That will be based on Eliyahu coming to tell us, Yi Pascha Zuamamine, Yi Lo Pascha Zuamine, whether or not the bad smell has departed from it enough that you're allowed to go ahead and write tefillin on it. Now the Gemara comes in and brings a story. Shmuel v'Karna, Havuyasviya Gudid Nahar Malka. So Shmuel and Karna were sitting by the bank of a river. Chazinu l'maya dekat dalu v'achire. And they saw that the waters of the river were rising and there was a big tide. Amar le Shmuel v'Karna, Shmuel said to Karna, Gavarabu ka'asimi marav. Even though it wasn't windy, it was still making the water move. So Shmuel said, it must be that a great man is coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavil. V'chayish b'mei, and he must be suffering from stuff from stomach pains. He has a stomach ache, and therefore the tides are going up, so that way on his boat he's not going to be embarrassed. No one's going to see him having to go to the bathroom. Kadalu maya lakbue ape kame, and therefore the water is coming to greet him. Ziltahi le akankane. So go and smell out the wine, meaning wine is considered Torah. So go and see if this guy's a Talmud Chacham. Azal ashkechelu Rav. So Karna went and met, and it was Rav. Amar le, and he asked him, and I chain close to tefillin to help. From where do we know that you don't write tefillin? El al gabe or behima Torah, except on the skin of a kosher animal. So Amar lo, so Rav stood back to him. Diksev umantiya Torah Hashem b'ficha, because the pasuk says so that the Torah of Hashem will be in your mouth, which we learn min hamutar b'fichas, that it must be written on something which is permissible in your mouth, meaning a kosher animal. Next question, Karna asked Rav. Minayin ladam shu adam, so how do we know that blood is red? So says Rav, shenemar vayiru moav mineged esamayim adumim kadam. Then he asked him a third question. Minayin lemigla shaboso makam, so how do we know that mila is done where it's done? How do we know it's not something else? How do we know that's exactly what mila is? Nemar kan orla so. So Rav said back, because over there by mila it says orla so. His orla, nemar lalan orla so. And when talking about a newly planted fruit tree, it says orla so as well. So ma lalan davar sheose pri, afkan davar sheose pri. So just as over there, it's talking about something which produces fruit, so too over here, when it comes to mila, we're talking about orla so, something which produces fruit. So ema libo, so Karna said back, why can't that be talking about a sartik siv maltem es ace orla slavavchem, where it also says orla slavavchem, so give the baby a heart surgery when it comes out. Or ema osno, maybe it could be the ear, diksiv hine arela osnam, it also uses this word orla, but talking about the ear. So Rav answers back, don't an orla so tama, me orla so tama. No, we go by not me ha orlas or orlas, orlas so, that full word. Vein done an orlas so tamba me erlas cheina tamba. We learn orlas so, and that's the full word from the fruit tree and from the bris milah, so that's how we know that it's going to be over there. So Amar Lei, so Rav said back to him, my shmach, what's your name? Karna. Karna said back, my name is Karna. So Amar Lei, so Rav said back to him, he said, Yehi Rav, desei poklei Karna beine. So may it be the will of Hashem that you get a thorn in your eye, meaning you will be punished, you should be cursed, because he was able to tell really clearly that he wasn't asking for the sake of understanding. He was just trying to test him, and he didn't appreciate it. Now the Gemara goes and continues. So eventually Shmuel took Rav into his house. So he fed him barley bread and fish stuff, and it was all thousand oil, and he also gave him beer to drink. And all this stuff, which makes you have to go to the bathroom, but he didn't show him the bathroom. And he did it so that way he would, you know, kind of clean his system out and be cured from whatever stomach pain that he was having. But Rav didn't necessarily see it like that. So light Rav Amar. So Rav said back, so the person who's causing me to suffer will not have any sons. And so was Shmuel only had daughters because of this curse, even though they eventually worked it out and realized why he was doing it. But still, when you have the curse of a chacham, it is a very powerful thing. But now, one of the things we mentioned with this whole question answer of Karna and Rav was that we know that mila is done by oso makom. So how do we know this? Says the Gemara, this is machlokas tanaim. So kitanai, this is really based on the following machlokas tanaim. Minayin the mila shab oso makom. So how do we know that mila is done in that place? Nemar kan orla. So so just like we said, so it comes from the Gzera Shava, talking about Orla So by Bris Mila and talking about it by the new fruits or by the fruit tree. So we see that it has to be something which produces fruits. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. This is the sheet of Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Nassan Omer. Rabbi Nassan says, "Eino tzarach, you don't need this because Varei Omer Varel Zachar Asher Lo Yimol Asher Basar La." So Makom Shenikar Bein Zachros L'Nakvos. When talking about the place where you're supposed to have the Bris Mila, so it says Zachar, talking about the male parts. So we say somewhere where separates between a male and a female. So that's how we know that's where it's going to be. Good. Now we go back to the topic of tefillin and which skins are good and not good for tefillin. So Tanurabban Rabbi Sansa Raisa Kosin Tfilin Al Gabe or Behema Tahora. So someone's allowed to write tefillin on the skin of kosher animal, the agabe or chaya tahora, and on the skin of a kosher beast, the agabe or nevelu trefos shelhen, and on the skin of nevelus and trefos of these beasts, meaning if it's a kosher animal that just died naturally, even though you can't eat that animal, you're still allowed to use it for tefillin. V'nichrasus b'saron, and the tefillin are wrapped in their hairs. V'nisparos b'gidon, and they're sewn with their sinews. V'halacha l'moshe misinai, and it's halacha l'moshe misinai sha tefillin nichrachos b'saron, that the tefillin are wrapped in their hair. V'nisparos b'gidon, and sewn with their sinews. Now comes the Bryson continues. Aval in kosvin la agabe or behema tmeya, but you're not allowed to write tefillin on the skin of a non-kosher animal, la agabe or chaya tmeya, or on the skin of a non-kosher beast. Ve'ino tzarach lomar agabe or nevelu trefa shelhen. And of course, when it's a non-kosher animal, the nevela and trefa, if it just died on its own, that's also not going to be allowed. Ve'inichrachem besaron, you shouldn't use the hairs to wrap the tefillin. Ve'inisparos begidon, and they should not be sewn with their sinews. Comes the Brice and continues this discussion and says, V'zu she'elo shal baitosi echad es Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi. And the following question was posed by one of the baitosim to Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi. Minayin she'in kosin tefillin al or behema tmei. So from where do we know that you're not allowed to write tefillin on the skin of a non-kosher animal? So Rabbi Yeshua responded, just like we saw before, that it needs to come from something which is mutter in your mouth, meaning an animal that may be eaten. But he said back to him, al gabe or nevelos utrevelos al yikasevu. So we just said that you're allowed to go ahead and do it on a kosher animal that is a nevelo trefa that died on its own, but you're not allowed to eat that. So how could it be, if it's all based on what you're allowed to eat, how are you allowed to write tefillin on that? So Rabbi Yeshua replied, he said, Amar lo, Rabbi Yeshua Garsi said back to him, I'm going to give you a mashal, ma'an darva dome. There are two people that were sentenced to death by the government. So one of them was executed by the king himself. And one of them was executed by the chief executioner. Which one's more important? So the one that the king killed is clearly of more significance. So too over here, when it comes to a kosher animal that's in Velo Trefa, so Hashem decided to go ahead and kill the animal. That's why it's going to be more significant than if it was just shechted, where a human went ahead and killed the animal. So says the Gemara, though, Elameate Yachelu. So if that's really so true, that it's such a chashiv thing for Nevelos and Trefos, then they should be allowed to be eaten. Granted, there was no Shechita Dam, but they should be allowed to be eaten. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yeshua said back to him, Torah Amra, Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela, V'Yatamar Yachelu. So you're going to tell me, the Torah says very clearly that you're not supposed to eat a Nevela, and you're going to tell me, oh, logically, we should be able to. So Amar Lei, Kalos, well said, good point. So this is Daf Kuf Ches Amar Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.